Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio
X. Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 thing podcast. The Woodman's here.
I am.
Sunta's here.
No, she's not.
No, she's not. Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 thing podcast. Gav, what I've done this week.
Yeah.
Hi, Woodman.
Hi.
If you're wondering why it's just you and me this week.
Why?
Because we do all the work on the show. And each week for this podcast bit, it's like Sunta's there. Well, she's in and out doing like gold news and...
Yeah, she's a part-timer.
She's a part-timer.
Yeah.
Part-time Templeton.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got
Glory Hunter.
Big Si. Mute. And only here for 4 days.
Little Si's just a nuisance.
Little Si's just a nuisance. So I just thought, what are we doing?
Yeah.
You know, Smarty comes in once a week and just drops in for this bit. What are we doing? It's about you and me.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
If you can't big ourselves up,
who's going to do it
who's
for
gonna
you?
Do it? Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Anyway, this episode contains Gavin and I.
Yeah, enjoy.
But it's also got German knights, Latin mottos, fatty yoghurt, pop detectives, and a remarkable own goal by Little Si, which was...
Oh, it was a beauty.
Oh, it was a beauty. You're not going to believe the Little Si.
It's like he volleyed it into the top corner.
Yes, yes. It's like he's turned round suddenly and just...
With acres of space.
And borne down on his own goal. All the time saying to the goalkeeper, I'm just back passing it, and then bang.
Volleyed
it. At home. Yeah. Enjoy it. Radio X. Do we all have a nice weekend?
Great, yeah.
I went to IKEA for the first time.
What? No, come on. It wasn't the first time.
I've never been to IKEA.
There's no way.
Damn, I've never had a reason to go to IKEA.
Well, I can see that.
I've never been a homeowner like that. My ex used to do everything. This is the first.
That's true, yeah.
You know, so I went there because my daughter's off to university today.
So she needed some bits.
She needed things like there was quite a lot of students down there, man. I mean, there's a real run on the desk lamps.
Really?
Yeah, those desk lamps hard, man. Like the collapsible laundry baskets, all that sort of stuff.
Did you have meatballs?
No, the queue was too big. It's brilliant.
What was your impression of it then?
Well, I went to Peter Jones, which is a branch of John Lewis.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you can see why their profits are down 99%. Christ alive.
Yeah.
I mean, you just think, I'll just go online.
Yeah.
Because that's what they're doing.
Right. It's a pain.
Yeah. You know, what's the point of going to a shop and you go in there, you ask to see something, they haven't got it, and they say,
we've got it
online, you can pick it up at Waitrose.
Right.
You think, well, if I'd known that, I'd have gone there in the first place. I'd have stayed on my computer and just surfed, then I'd have gone to Waitrose anyway. So I had a miserable experience not getting anything I wanted at John Lewis. It was not good.
They have stuff in stock in IKEA generally, don't they?
Yeah.
It's there.
No, you're in the stock room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a warehouse.
Running around the warehouse.
It's not just called a warehouse.
No, that's
it
the whole
is
thing.
An actual warehouse.
I'm thinking, well,
warehouse.
This is genius. What you do is you just go straight to the warehouse. There's no work. We've got some at the warehouse.
That's right.
No. You don't go straight to the warehouse. You meander through all their beautiful little rooms.
Right. Yeah.
And you play the game of who would live here.
Yes.
That's right.
And in most cases, you have to say, and a lot of them, you would say, when you look at them, it's no. You can see why there's a lot of those Swedish stories about like serial killers and stuff.
Right.
I'm not being funny. I was looking in there. I was thinking the only kind of person who'd be that, the attention to detail and the control in there would have to be a very dangerous human.
Also, the model names are hilarious.
Mm.
Everything's called something quite funny.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's all Swedish words. You just don't want to have a clue what it is.
I know there's the meeting point or whatever, and it's got meeting point in Swedish, and I'm thinking that's brilliant. Because they will meet at whatever it is, I don't know. But yeah, I bought so much crap, I got home.
That's the other thing. You go in, you need 5 things, you come out, you've bought 55 things.
Yes.
And a new bed.
But the thing is, these days, for anything to survive, it's got to be better than the experience you get on the internet, right? It's got to be better than that, and it was.
Oh, it's
otherwise,
a proper
otherwise
day
you go,
out.
You go to these places these days, and unless you're providing something, people think, well, I could just do this on my own.
Yeah.
That's right.
Why provide something that's so utterly disappointing?
But then, of course, you do have to do it on your own because you have to build it when you get home.
That's true, yeah.
So there is that side of it, which always takes the sheen off because, well...
You built anything from there?
Everything in my flat has been built from there.
Who built
much.
It?
Me and Liam together. And if you can survive as a couple building something from IKEA, that is love.
That's reality television.
That's a show I want. That's the show I want. You should just
Sunter and Liam build.
I feel like buying you something just so you can make it.
Yeah.
I feel like going to IKEA and say, what's the most complicated thing you got here?
Oh, don't. There's been times we've come that close to breaking up over a shelf.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'd love to see? I'd like to give you a bottle of Jack Daniels and you have to have that between the two of you and then go to work.
On something quite complicated.
That's how we do it.
But you
something with 4 drawers in it.
Yeah. No, you coming back from... No, 5.
5 drawers.
5. 5, Gav.
But it's got to be another number.
You two coming back from Aces and A's.
No Allen key.
Right, it seems like the perfect time to put something together, Sunset. This way. Well, it was meant to be a cover, but it's going to make a lovely cat bed now. But look, we can use it now as a little Wendy house, or I can have it as a little study bedroom. Since I bought so much rubbish, I got home, and I just bought all these like things that hold things for my kitchen.
Yeah,
because right, you look at it and you think £7.
I know.
Wow,
I'm going to get some.
I know. It's unbelievable. I thought
they're smashing it.
I can't fit. I just like these glasses. They were £4. They're £600. Thinking I would like a vodka and tonic in that glass. I've got so many glasses. I've got a tiny kitchen. Yeah. It's tiny. I got home. It's just mad. It's absolutely mad.
Oh, I'm so glad you're now like part of this world.
No, but I was meant to be getting rid of things. That's my whole point. I was meant to get rid of things. Don't go to IKEA. There's a war on storage. Oh, man.
This is Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Okay, now, guys, I said I was going to do a thing about Jane Austen Festival.
Oh, yeah.
I'd not.
Why?
I said that. Because there is a Jane Austen Festival, which obviously I'm not going to do that. What I'm actually going to say is a little sigh. Asked me the most incredible question before the show.
What?
And I can't... at the time, I thought, I've got to really play this down. He's going to know this is in the show. It's the first time I've ever been asked this question, and I hope the last.
Okay.
The last time he did this, he let slip that he was a traffic warden once.
Yeah, I know. No, this is even worse.
Boy, did he regret that.
Wow. Wow, did he regret that.
So what did he say?
He asked me before the show, Gav, you haven't got a cravat I could borrow. Oh, hey, you thought you got, I can't believe you thought you got away with it. I was even telling you, yeah, I've definitely got one. Of course I haven't got a sodding cravat.
Why do you need a cravat?
I go to a wedding. I'm going to a wedding.
Have you got a cravat?
Was it a cravats only wedding or something?
No.
No, but have you got a cravat? Gav, did you not see me, John? This is what I've been Gav, should I tell you something? Holding this down, that's what it gives me energy. It's like being a pressure cooker. I've had to hold this in for the last hour and a half.
That's amazing.
Have you got a cravat? How you got a cravat?
Very funny. Yeah, I need a colourful cravat. Okay, I'm going to a wedding.
Wear a tie like most people.
No. Cravat.
And the dress code is Nathan Lane in the Birdcage.
Okay. Wow, that's quite specific.
That's really specific.
And he wore a cravat. It's going to be a really odd scene at that wedding.
I say, that's narrowed it down. It's a one character in a French film wedding.
How are you going to get your legs through the cage floor?
Yeah.
Have you seen his legs? He'll be fine.
Yeah. No, so but that's a very...
I know. I've bought a pink linen blazer, especially for the occasion.
Which actually, I was going to say, look really nice.
Did it look good?
Well, yeah, because I mean, you'll get away with it. You can get away wearing pink because you're a Tottenham fan. No, if you look at most cab drivers who are Tottenham fans, you're always like a right nice
polo
tan.
Shirt, yeah.
Always right nice tan with a bright pink polo gold shirt, aren't they?
Lovely.
Still not going well there, is it, without Vorm?
Oh dear.
I'm sort of like two gold gold.
He's got a mistake in him, John.
he's terrible.
Anyway, so I bought that and I need a colourful cravat to go with it. So I was just thinking.
Listen, Simon, don't
just
look at us all like don't look, I know what you're looking at us like, so it's perfectly normal. No, but he's trying to sell it, Gav, giving it the normal
I
one.
I bet there's no dress code and Little Si just wants to wear a cravat.
I think he's the only one who's been given this dress code.
I think he's giving it to himself.
Also, do you think they're stitching him up and it's just on his invite?
Yes, I do.
Definitely.
I've often thought about doing a party where I said, please do not discuss the dress code with anyone. Actually, sending separate ones.
Yeah, all
just like sending black tie to like 10 people and everyone else is quite casual. A mate of mine, in fact, you know, Jim's done that to me before.
What did he say?
It's black tie. I said, is it black tie? It was dinner at someone's house.
No, you showed up with it.
I said, it's black tie, yeah. I turned up with black tie just for dinner for like eight people at someone's house. It's terrible. But I'll tell you something. I think, you know, you get those moments in life where you just remember where you were forever. Mm. And it was just, you just know, oh, that's the show sus this afternoon. That's it, my work's done. But the moment, Little Si...
The Lord hath delivered him into your hands.
But that's a really good producer. You gave me that material. Do you see? You've inspired me. But he turned around and goes, you haven't got a cravat. I
had to go with my waistcoat.
It's just unbelievable. The fact you knew I was going to do something, you just hanged yourself.
Radio X.
Right, every Saturday between 11 and 1 on The Kickabout, Gavin and I do a thing called Mexican Handbags. It's those observations of everyday life. You take the old... and simply add a place and an action or an object. On this show, we make the handbag. Well, we don't quite. We spin the reels of the Mexican bandit.
Yeah.
Too real. It's a too real bandit. We make the handbag and you define it. Ladies and gentlemen. Los Bolsos Mexicanos. Sí. In radio. Los Bolsos Mexicanos. Maestra vida, 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 vida. Con Radio X.
X. El grande X. 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 Increíble.
Los Bolsos Mexicanos.
Increíble.
I love it when you're in Miami or Mexico and you hear Spanish adverts. I was going to say Mexican. They're speaking in Mexican.
Yeah.
And it's for cars. Mm. They go, nuevo, nuevo, nuevo.
Increíble.
They just have it. There's one in the background who's just listing off. New Ford. And it's going through it. Nuevo Ford. Ocho, ocho. And giving you the prices.
All
and
the numbers.
And then in the background, the guys went,
increíble.
Just fantastic. Right, you ready for this? Let's pull the lever on our two real Mexican bandits. So it's the old Bristol. Brisbane.
Ooh.
The old Brisbane.
Breezy.
I thought it was going to be Bristol.
Mm.
Okay, next. Go, 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 go. Drain pipe.
Drain pipe.
The old Brisbane drain pipe. Okay, right off the bat. Yeah. Sometimes in my house, particularly in the new flats.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I'm not used to the smells of things. And you walk round flats.
Yeah.
Or when you walk anywhere. And yeah. You suddenly get a whiff of something, and you think, hello, something's blocked. That is the case of the old Brisbane drain pipe.
It
you
know, is,
or
yeah.
You could be walking down a pavement, and you sort of go, what's that?
Is there no U-bend in this system?
That is not the work of one man.
No. You
know, that's a group effort.
That's a general effort.
Yeah, right. But you get it.
Oh.
What?
It's a take
oh, come on, cat owner.
Do you know what I think it is?
What?
The old Brisbane drain pipe.
What?
I think it's a guy wearing skinny jeans that are far too small.
Oh, man. I saw,
a big guy with skinny jeans on.
Far too small.
I was laughing with my Uber driver only this morning about that.
Right, really?
Yeah, he's not mine. I don't know him.
You put your
yes,
own
no, I've
driver.
Gone further than buying an Uber. I didn't just buy shares. I bought a driver. No, there's no car. He just accompanies me.
Right.
That'd be nice though, actually. Uber should do chaperones.
Yes.
For people at night, a bit frightened.
Lovely.
No, I don't want the car. Just walk with them for a while. Okay, here we go.
I reckon
brilliant
an old
idea.
Brisbane drain pipe is either just a corrugated tin roof.
Yeah.
Or a sketchy ride at a water park.
Nice. Well, you look at you thinking, oh, I'm not going on that sort of thing. There's one in Corfu.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Where the guy actually assured me that two people have died on it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He goes, keep your arms in because we have actually two people who died on this one. And do you know what? I loved it.
No.
No, genuine bit of edge.
Give you a bit of edge.
No, if you go down, I love... So, yeah, anyway. The Brisbane drain pipe is when you see some trousers that just a sort of... And you sort of think... What era are they from? When was that ever?
Teddy Boy?
When was,
or
that,
is it?
When was that ever even a fashion?
Like the ones I wore on Friday?
Yes. The old Brisbane Draper. Yeah, I was looking at those. I was fascinated. What the hell were they?
They were blue and black velvet bell bottoms from the 90s looking like 70s.
They were mad. Okay, here we go. Jamie from Richmond, thank you so much for listening, and thanks for this, Jamie. It's just a didgeridoo.
Yeah.
The old Brisbane, which is genius.
Perfect.
You know, brilliant. Brevity is the soul of wit. Jamie's just killed it with that. He's nailed it. Gav, what do you got for me?
This one, no name, number ending 639. The old Brisbane drainpipe when you use an empty Coke bottle for a wee.
Oh, dear.
This Brisbane drainpipe is a really good one. Thank you very much to the Mexican bandit for serving this one up. What you got there, Suns?
Badger in Ipswich says the old Brisbane drainpipe is when your trouser leg gets caught in your sock and no one tells you.
That's fantastic. At the moment, I've got these particular shoes I'm wearing at the moment. They're sort of a boot.
Mm.
Just goes above the ankle. I'm wearing ankle boots.
And they keep tucking your trousers in.
No, just
in
the back.
Mistake.
It's really annoying. I sort of feel a draft suddenly at the back, and they've gone a bit.
You look like a cyclist.
Okay, here's one for you. This is Richard in Manchester. Thank you so much, Richard. Thank you for listening, and thanks for sending this in. The old Brisbane drainpipe is that section of guttering that is always dripping, leaving that small section of light moss on the floor. Thank you so much. You just look at that from now and think, the old Brisbane drainpipe. This is actually, it's not quite appropriate, but number ends 440. Thank you so much for this. We like names, but that'll do. Unless, of course, your parents weirdly christened you that.
Yeah.
The name you give a girl on the first date, the kind of girl who drinks twice as much as you do. Ah, the old Brisbane drain pipe. That's so funny. Clap that, guys.
That's a good one.
No, if I had a mate who said, and we knew that about him, that he was seeing a girl who drinks much more than he does, he'd go, you off out with the old
Brisbane drain pipe.
Yeah, no, I've got to go out with the old Brisbane drain pipe again. That's brilliant. Gav, what do you got for me?
Number ending 639, the old Brisbane drain pipe, when you get hit by a massive puddle of water that collected on top of an awning and then suddenly collapses.
Very good. Dr.
From Phil, the old Brisbane drain pipe is a rugby term for when a penalty or conversion is being taken and the kicker manages to hit the upright with the ball. He's hit the old Brisbane drain pipe.
God, that's Gav. Proving
that's a lovely one.
One of the best handbags we've ever, the bandits ever served up. That's amazing. That's really good. Because there's no. This is from Dave in Radcliffe. Thank you very much for this, Dave. Absolute beauty. It's your mate who, when the taxi arrives, will drink every last dreg out of every glass on the table.
Yes!
Ah, the old Brisbane drain.
Cheers!
If you see your mate do that, you say, ah, the old Brisbane drain pipe, eh?
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Visit Pontins. It's just got that good vibe of the 70s. I can really see it at the end.
Very
70s. It's really good. Or, I tell you what else it could be like. The theme of one of those sort of cartoon shows. Like when I was a kid, there used to be one called Josie and the Pussycats.
Right.
And they were kind of, it was cartoon.
A cartoon about a band.
At the time I was young, I found them kind of hot. I'm not saying it's like those weird cartoons, but I did find them kind of, they were sexy. They just went off and solved. They had a really good theme tune. They were like four women that dressed as cats. They solved crime. But
sounds
luckily,
brilliant.
But they solved crime. But luckily, they were also in a band.
Right.
And luckily, there was crime going on wherever that band played.
Okay.
That was really lucky.
That's your generation's gem.
Yes. I don't know what gem is, but yes.
Yeah.
That's because they're not my bands. Generation. Yeah. Well, yes. Or gem are your generation's Josie and the Pussycats.
Can you imagine an actual successful band being asked to go and investigate a crime? They'd be like, nah.
No, listen. No, if you're talking about...
We're going back to the hotel.
If you're
instead.
Talking about Oasis detectives.
Yeah. What, the two of
this
them?
This week, Liam Gallagher the and Gallagher, Gallagher brothers. Are on the trail of a killer. It'd be awesome. No, I said I drive. No, you're not driving because you're banned. Just the two of them arguing for hours. Our kids.
What, with a motorbike and sidecar to get around?
Yes. Or actually, I can understand. I could see something like a forensic detective like Dr. Chris Martin.
Yes, definitely.
Like Coldplay on
a
the
rural
trail.
Setting, yeah, like
really,
Cornwall.
Really decent man. No thanks, I don't drink.
Like in a village where there's a lot of murders.
Yes, that's I can right, understand yeah. that. And there's a rock star lives in a big manor.
One a week that takes a week to solve.
Actually, if Ed Sheeran donned a dog collar, I could see him as like a sort of priest. Like a sort of vicar detective kind of character. Seriously.
I can see that.
The Reverend Sheeran, new for autumn on ITV. And he's around a Norfolk village.
He's a detective and antiques dealer.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's his sideline.
No, I think more sacred, like looks at like sacred pictures and things. Or, no, it's not his hobby, it's brass rubbing.
Yeah.
I can see him doing that. And not that sort
and
either.
Icons.
And icons, yes. Well, this is a fascinating item, isn't it? What is it, Reverend Sheeran? I can see it, can't you?
Definitely.
Definitely. Bit of dandruff on the...
Yeah.
Yes. Right, you've got to have dandruff if you're a vicar and steel rim specs. It's one of those things.
And a really nice big house.
In a massive house and body odour.
Yeah.
God, it's like a dream, isn't it, Gav?
It is.
Radio X.
Prince Harry is playing an absolute blinder.
What's he done?
Because the Duchess of Sussex, let's bear in mind that she's the same person she's always been, right?
Yeah.
Now, this explains one of the key laws of thermodynamics.
Mm.
Heat moves to a colder object.
Yes. Yeah?
So, we've got the 4 till 7 thing. It makes the whole global better.
Yes. Guaranteed.
No, the fact that we're in the building gives the place a bit of credibility. They've got some decent broadcasters in the gaff, right?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, some proper blue chip people.
Sure.
Yes.
You know?
Genuine art.
With a bit of pedigree, a bit of provenance, right?
Yeah. That's
right.
That's
why they have us here.
Yeah. We're the deli of the building.
But, little Si, yeah? Let's pretend he's Meghan...
Markle.
Markle, right? Yeah. He was nothing, right? But he sits with me,
Yeah.
And now he could literally go off and do walkabouts on behalf of the 4 till 7 thing.
That's true. Wow. Suddenly he's got
he's
some
heat.
He's
the same man as he was as a traffic warden.
That's true. That's true.
Right.
That's true.
Well, here's a parallel. Genius seeks analogy. The Duchess of Sussex is to carry out her first official solo royal engagement next week as she attends the opening of an exhibition celebrating the Pacific cultures she will soon visit on tour. It's just amazing, isn't it? You just marry someone and now you turn up and everyone's queuing up and it's like, hello there. She's an actress.
Suddenly she's a...
She must be just duchess, loving yeah. it. She's yeah. thinking, wow, 2 years ago I couldn't catch a cold. Seriously.
Yeah, this is way better
two
than
weeks
an
ago,
Oscar.
I was getting my agent going, well, why aren't I invited to the gallery openings with Gwyneth Paltrow? Well, why?
Yeah.
Well, how come they get invited? Suddenly. She's like royal box at Wimbledon.
That's right.
Before she'd be
it,
lucky
yeah.
to get a sodding ticket.
Oh, that's brilliant.
She'd be queuing by the strawberries.
Yeah, they'll be naming things yeah, after it.
It's unbelievable. meanwhile, Prince Harry must be thinking, I can't believe it. It turns out they don't really want princes to turn up anyway. They much prefer a princess.
Every time,
oh, yeah.
yeah.
They don't really care about them being royal family. They just,
yes.
doesn't matter.
Once you've married... Harry's played a blinder.
He's played a blinder because he inherited 11 million off his mum, inherited another 14 million off his gran.
Yes.
He doesn't have to be prince, but he actually is the hardest working of all of them. And now he's thinking, oh, great, I'm just going to kick back. This is brilliant. I've married this actress who just is mad for publicity. Which is the thing I can't stand.
She's taking on all the heat for the yeah. public events.
Yeah, she won't stop. He's
eating chicken wings watching literally. Football. Yeah. He's having the
she's
time of his life.
Calling up the PR people going, any more hospitals I can visit? Yeah. That's brilliant. It's just showbiz. It's like the whole day, it's like your first appearance. It's extraordinary for her. And she doesn't have to do the acting bit.
Oh, it's fantastic.
A lot of people get into acting, they quite want to be famous. They're not like good at acting, they want to be famous.
Or they want to pretend to be a duchess.
Yeah, or they want to pretend to be a duchess. Now she is.
That's brilliant.
It's unbelievable. We should always get actresses to do each one.
I think it's a brilliant idea.
We need you to act like a king for a bit.
Born to do it, literally.
Yeah. On Monday, she launched her first charity project. She's fantastic, and you look so good as well. It doesn't look like you. It's unbelievable. She can look all benevolent and gets into a lovely show.
She's practiced the waves.
Before, maybe, you know, if she was doing a voiceover, maybe if it was worth it, they'd get Addison Lee for her.
Right, yeah.
Now she's got like a footman.
That's
a
right.
A coachman, a sort of roller with flags on it.
Bentley are making yeah, cars
yes,
for her.
You're absolutely
yeah.
right. Yeah, meanwhile, Harry just sits there.
Yeah.
Winding his brother up about Aston Villa while the two of them watch the women go out to work. Genius.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Well, he once took 7 for 37 against his old school, against the very team that wouldn't pick him to play.
Against the teacher that wouldn't pick me. It was the sweetest thing ever.
Well, that was his day of heroics. But you know what, Woodman, every day on Radio X is our day of heroics. Take it! The Woodman loves to furnish us with a hero. Today, no exception. Go on, Wooders.
Do you remember I did a hero about, probably 2 years ago now, about a man called Tycho Brahe?
No.
Who lost his nose in a duel.
Yes.
You do remember him, don't you? He was a Danish nobleman.
It was the detail I needed.
Who had a brass prosthetic nose.
He had a
mate.
Brass nose.
Yeah.
Genius.
Anyway, today's hero is a man called Gottfried von Berlichingen.
Don't tell me he had some brass neck.
His nickname was Gotz of the Iron Hand, which is a bit of a clue. He was a this is his career description. He was a German imperial knight, mercenary and poet.
Oh, man.
What a combination.
Let me tell you something, though. When I hear that, that's just what I was meant to be.
Do you think so?
That's the TJ thing.
Anyway, he was born in 1480, and age 17 in 1497, he entered the service of Frederick I, the Margrave of Brandenburg-Ansbach.
Sorry, what was that title? What was that title?
The Margrave.
There's no such... Sorry, pardon my language. Gav, there's no such title.
I looked it up. It means a protector of the Holy Roman Empire border.
He's a Margrave.
The Margrave of Brandenburg-Ansbach.
I'd love to pepper that into conversation. My grandfather, of course, was the Margrave of Brandenburg, I'm familiar with the
That's
area.
Right. So he was born as a nobleman. He At 17, he volunteered in the...
Margrave.
He then, a year later, he fought in the Holy Roman fought for the Holy Roman Emperor Maximilian I, and he fought in Burgundy, Lorraine, the Brabant, and the Swabian War.
I've never
heard of any of these.
No, not the vicious Swabian wars.
War.
Oh, damn.
In 1500, he formed, this is at the age of 20, right? Yeah. He formed his own mercenary army.
Good man. Very rarely a day goes past when I don't think of doing that.
He sold his warrior services to dukes, margraves, and barons. Any excuse to say margrave, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's fantastic. Do it.
So in 1504, so he was 24, he was fighting for Albert IV, Duke of Bavaria, at the siege at the siege of Landshut. He lost his right arm.
The siege of Landshut.
That's right. He lost his right arm below the elbow when a cannonball forced his sword against his arm.
Oh, no.
Took his arm off.
Hate that.
He was 24 and he'd been at war already for 7 years.
Okay.
Did he retire to... He had his own castle. Did he retire?
No, he didn't, Gav.
Oh, he didn't. He continued as a soldier...
Not the Margrave.
He continued as a soldier for 40 more years. How did he do this?
He just liked killing, that's
well,
why, Gav.
How did he do this? He had an iron prosthetic arm made, right? It had knuckles and fingernails engraved into it. It was made by a blacksmith and a saddler working together.
Well, they'd have been very good back then with armour
really
and all those
good.
Things.
That
would have been amazing, plus the German.
The second version, the second prototype that he used, had spring-loaded fingers. He was able to hold not just a shield, which the first arm could hold.
Yeah.
He was then able to hold the reins of his horse with his prosthetic arm.
Wow.
And a quill. He learned how to write with it because he was right-handed.
It's like AMG.
In the beginning. Here's a picture of his arm, which exists now at the Jagsthausen Castle, today.
So where, Gav, is that...
The Jagsthausen Castle.
Wow.
I don't know where it is.
Wow, it's sort of horrible.
It's absolutely amazing.
It's the most... the Eisenhand Gods von Berlin.
That's right.
Gav, it looks...
He carried on soldiering for 40
Gav,
years.
It's like the most horrible thing I've
it
ever seen.
It looks awful,
imagine being...
Doesn't
that's
it?
The last thing you see as you're killed. You see
I
that
know,
guy holding
exactly.
a sword. You'd really think you're up against the... like, Satan.
He was also, as a small detail, involved in 15 personal feuds.
Was he?
Which he went to war over.
Oh, God, not
absolutely
the guy with the...
Absolutely amazing.
Most people thinking, oh, no, not the guy with the iron arm. Is he going to fight me?
Exactly right. He retired. He died 82 years old
in
1562.
But nice that he had 47 good years of slaughter.
Gottfried von Berlichingen.
Whatever Gav just said, Gottfried the Margrave. We salute you, oh Margrave. Gav, that was brilliant. Radio X. The greatest thing man's come up with, obviously, is Coca-Cola, right?
Okay.
Pound for pound, I'm just saying, in terms of as a medicine.
Man-made
as
thing.
A medicine, as a drink, as a tonic, as just a flavour that God missed out on.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't exist in nature.
No, it doesn't
Coca-Cola,
exist in nature.
Yeah,
it's the only time man has improved on something in nature. Even God would take a sip of it and go, You're good. Because I didn't think of that. Yeah. I had the same ingredients, I didn't... Okay, fair enough.
I'll spare you. Yeah.
But wait for this, yeah? Here's a real rare one. It's some good news for Coca-Cola. I've actually read a...
A positive thing.
Yes, well, not a positive
it's usually
thing.
Too much, too no, much sugar
no,
and...
No, just to get this straight, it's not a positive thing, but they found something more negative about something else.
Oh, okay. Okay. Go on.
Yogurt, more sugary than Coca-Cola.
What?
Yeah, how about that? So, is that what the
Coca-Cola... does up Coca-Cola slightly, doesn't it?
Yeah, but
is that a little bit.
But is this what the Coca-Cola company is doing now? Is this new strategy? Yeah, they're really getting
what's
this.
Got more...
Yeah. I know. We'll just find things that are unhealthy, that people think are healthy. And we'll just start putting stuff out, published about that.
Put them next to it, yeah.
Genius.
That's a brilliant
start
idea.
Start with something everyone thinks is...
Because yogurt's supposed to be a bit healthy, isn't it?
Check muesli out. Yeah. And you watch the next thing is they'll be bringing out their own special unhealthy muesli just to compare to Coca-Cola. they'll bring out sort of... Find something else that's meant to be healthy and make it unhealthy.
Less sugar than muesli.
Get it in the shop so we can say we're healthy.
I actually think there is quite a lot of sugar in muesli.
I don't think it is
very healthy at all.
No, it is.
Well,
it depends
what kind of muesli.
Right.
Because some muesli is sweetened.
You're not using that.
Some muesli is just nuts and oats and fruit.
Well, that would depend.
They do sweeten other brands.
Do they?
Yeah, and they are really sugary.
Well, that would depend on the brand.
Well.
This feels like a Foodsy index suddenly.
It does, yeah.
It does. Well. Anyway,
so Coca-Cola are using yogurt, because yogurt's quite healthy, supposed to be healthy.
Meant to be healthy. What's your chosen yogurt, Gav? When you're down the yogurt aisle and you're facing that option paralysis, which
well,
we
as
all
I'm
get.
Older and my tastes have developed now, my favourite is Petit Filou.
That's not a yogurt.
They're delicious, though, especially the bigger ones.
So here's the deal with Petit Filou, yeah? Who is satisfied by that?
I know. They're tiny.
Is it one spoon? Oh, it's not unhealthy. We said to only eat that much. But that's nothing. That's not a
thing. they just for kids?
Yeah.
No, that way they're little.
A friend of mine had really bad tonsillitis and he couldn't swallow. It was so painful. Yeah. I went round to see him in the afternoon. He looked miserable. He was starving. He said, I haven't been able to eat. I said, have you eaten anything? And he went, I've had two petit flous.
Have you ever mixed it up with milk, though?
No. Oh, does it do a milkshake?
Yeah.
Does it?
Yes. Not only does it do a milkshake, Gav, it does a very fine milkshake.
Does it?
Oh, it's amazing. If you want a quick one, just to really, really impress your kids, you just get one of those petit flous, bang, in a glass.
Bit of milk.
The large one with milk. Oh, man, the kids will look at you like you're literally like you're Ronald McDonald.
Wow.
Another of my heroes.
Excellent news.
Anyway, supermarket yogurt can have a higher sugar content than Coca-Cola. I love that it's supermarket yogurt. I mean, those cheap ones.
Yeah.
What do they say? Cheap. sugar content than Coca-Cola, despite regard as a healthy option, a study has found. Researchers found that fewer than 1 in 10 categories of yogurt. I mean, and there's probably about 100.
Yeah.
Categories.
That's right.
Yeah. But 1 in 10 categories of yogurt sold in British supermarkets qualified as low sugar. What they do, Gav, we were discussing this beforehand.
When they want to sell a food product.
You were saying is that they say if something's low fat, it means it's just they're just whacking a load of sugar.
It means it's got loads of sugar in it.
Yeah.
And if it's low sugar, it's got loads of fat in
loads
it.
Of fat.
Yeah, if it's low salt, it's got sugar
so
and
if
fat.
If we
in
came
it
up with something really natural as our product here,
yeah,
and someone was tasting it, or Gav was tasting it and just going, I don't know, we spent loads on this, but
it's a bit
this
boring.
Healthy alternative is not, it's a bit dull. Yeah. Maybe we could shove some sugar in.
We could call it low fat.
Yeah, go on then. And then put low fat on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, that's one. Taste it now. Oh, man,
that's delicious.
That's delicious. That's delicious.
Radio X. Johnny. Vaughan.
Right, it is. It's International Toy Like a Pirate Day, September 19th. And I have one of the people who created it way back in 1995. Would you please welcome to the show old chum bucket himself, Tarry Not, for John Power. Arr!
Arr!
Arr! Arr! Arr!
Ahoy there!
Ahoy! Ahoy ye! How are ye?
Better than I deserve.
John, Chum Bucket, where are you speaking from? We've got an unusual number here. Are you in the Virgin Islands?
No, we left the Virgin Islands a couple of years ago. We're in Louisiana now, in New Orleans.
Arr, arr, arr. John, tell us about, because I've heard sort of, I've heard an account from your daughter, I think, a long time ago. Have you got a daughter? What?
Yes, that's right.
She was. I did a breakfast show, and she told us the story about how you started International Pirate Day. Perhaps we'd just like to, we'd like to hear it from the captain's mouth, please.
Yeah, she had heard the story so many times that when you called her in what for her was the middle of the night.
Yes,
she just picked right up and went with it.
Yes,
we raised her right.
Yes, I gather.
Anyway,
you couldn't be bothered to get out of bed. I gather.
No, actually, I was in Philadelphia at the time.
Oh, right, okay, good memory. Okay, so go on. Is it true?
Pardon?
Is it true? It just started with you getting a racket ball in the nuts.
Something like that, yes. My friend and I were playing racket ball because we thought we could get back in shape.
Yeah.
If you'd seen my pictures, you'd know how well that worked.
Okay. presumably not.
But one of us, and memory today doesn't say which one it was, strained something which was best left unstrained.
Okay.
And let out an arr.
Ah!
And we started insulting each other back and forth in pirate lingo. Ah, I'll slap this one off your mizzen.
Okay.
Get scurvy now. Prepare for Academy.
Okay.
When the game was over, we realized we'd had more fun than we ever had on the court before. So much so that we made two decisions.
Yeah,
we made two decisions.
Decision one.
Never play racquetball again.
Okay.
Decision.
Two.
We managed to keep that up. And two was the world needed a holiday where every man, woman, and child on the planet talked like a pirate.
Arr, that it be. That be true.
Wise arr. Words.
Wise words. Arr. So
and it's just fun. It's just fun to do.
Of course it is. Do you know what? I tell you how fun it is, and this is real proof of it. Everyone, when you first hear that joke, why are pirates called pirates? Because they are. As soon as you've heard
because
that joke.
Because they are.
Because as soon as you hear that joke, do you know what? I don't know anyone, any age, the first time they hear it, that doesn't actually, not anything is hysterical, but actually really think it's hysterical. I mean, people go off and go, because they
are.
It's
one of the 1,001 iterations of the R joke.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
movies do pirates like? Rated R. Yeah. How do they get to work in a car?
Go on, more pirate jokes.
Well, where do they like to shop? At Target? No, Mars. Okay, okay.
More.
Where do they go on holiday for some R&R?
Yeah, R&R.
Yeah, you know, they're kind of funny. They're kind of funny the first time you hear them.
Yeah. Yeah,
getting right. up in the hundreds, they lose some of their
yeah.
thing.
Well, you sort of you can anticipate the punch, what the punchline's going to include an element of.
Yeah,
yeah. John, how much money is International Talk Like a Pirate Day raised? Do you know?
No, I don't. We have never run our own charity because we're just two guys.
Yeah.
Who would willingly give money to a pirate? But we know that the holiday has been used around the world.
Wait a second. Fund. John, are you referring to it as a holiday? This holiday.
A holiday. That's right.
Okay.
Talk Like a Pirate Day is an international holiday.
Right. John,
it's not one the government takes a vote and says, oh yes, this will be a holiday.
No.
It's one that the people just decided we're all going to get together and do it.
It should be a national holiday, definitely.
Yes, it should.
It really should be. Everyone should just have the day off.
Yeah. And in true pirate fashion, well, we should just take it.
We should just take the day off. Exactly right.
I'm sitting at home. What are you doing at work?
Oh.
Good point.
Arr. Pirate radio.
But no, it has been celebrated on all seven continents, even at the South Pole. It's been celebrated on the International Space Station.
Has it?
So I guess that makes it what? The intergalactic?
It's an intergalactic talk like a wherever you are in creation.
Even on a space vessel.
Can I just say
I'm suddenly thinking of the Donovan song.
Which one?
The intergalactic laxative?
Yes. Tune. Old Chum Bucket, it's time with Tarry, it's time for us to bid ye farewell. We shall speak to you very soon. Congratulations. Thank you very much to you and Mark Summers, Captain Slappy. Send him our regards. And thank you very much for joining us.
I will. Thank you very much.
Happy International Talk Like a Pirate.
This
is Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Two things on page three of the Times. Firstly, when the Queen met Martin McGuinness, she said, it's just a great response, the Queen says. Because Martin McGuinness was talking, you know, it's amazing, you know, he really liked her.
Right.
And they shook hands. And it's a historic thing. You've got a guy there, you know, for most of his life leading the whatever.
Yeah.
Was hell-bent on actually killing a whole family.
Yeah.
For her to shake his hand. But do you know what she says?
What?
So it's a huge diplomatic thing, and I tread very carefully here, but her dignified response, she just said, well, it was very awkward not to.
I love that.
Yeah.
Weighing out what's
and
the more
right.
awkward outcome.
It was really, not really, doing it. It would have been really, really awkward not to. Anyway, I just thought it was fantastic.
That's great.
David Cameron observed that.
Right.
But get this. This is the obvious piece of research. This is amazing. People are more likely to start getting religious when they're ill or as they get older. Yeah. So
as they get closer to contemplating their mortality.
Yeah, sick Britons find religion in God's waiting room.
Yeah.
And this is my whole point about how when they say the church has got to try and get some young people in, yeah? Well, you hope they won't. Because if it is, it's, you know, generally people go there when things are bad.
That's right, yeah.
And can I just say, one glance at Songs of Praise could have told me that. These researchers...
You don't even have to look at Songs of Praise. You just know, don't you?
Yeah, right. The latest data from the survey. This is a British social attitude survey.
You don't need that.
No, no, you don't. You just need to flick onto Songs of Praise.
For 1 second.
Yeah, for 1 second.
One camera pan. Yeah, and you've done
it. And then look
it.
Back at a 70s one.
That's right.
The thing where they, it's always no that difference. Particular yeah. window, isn't
That's
it?
That's right, yeah.
They never like, cut to a crew of hoodies at the back, do they? That's what I'd like to do. If I was editing, I'd like to be the guy who was the vision mixer for Songs of Praise and just pick on one quite normal-looking old lady every time they said the word sinner. Let us pray for our sins. Just cut to her. Sort of looking at the camera. Or some old boy. Or a child. Radio X. Something I didn't tell you about yesterday, guys. Because it was so much excitement.
Yeah.
Just so excited. It was so much activities.
There
wasn't
was.
It?
Yeah, yeah.
There was so much activities here.
Activities?
It was just activities, wasn't there?
Okay.
Anyway, but one activity I'm getting really excited about. This is really sad. But I never thought I could look forward to something so tiny, so much. Because, ladies and gentlemen, as they say in Latin, multum in parvo, a lot from a little.
Right.
A lot from a little, which gave me an idea for this section of the show. Multum in parvo! Multum in parvo!
Is that Latin?
Yes, you have to say multum in parvo back.
Say it again.
Multum in parvo.
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 Or should we do it in the proper Hollywood way?
Yeah.
Multum in parvo.
Multum in parvo, centurion.
I think that's the first new Latin I've learnt.
You're kidding.
What? Multum in parvo.
Multum in parvo.
Multum.
So come on.
In parvo.
Multum in parvo, citizen.
Centurion.
Yeah. Now go your way.
So it means from a lot. From a little, a lot.
Yeah, well, a lot from a little.
Yeah.
Not from a little.
It's the motto of the county of Rutland.
And Robinson's barley water.
Yes. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. Anyway, my latest... Multum in parvo is
I keep picturing Victor Mature.
No, the best one ever is in the greatest story ever told, when John Wayne is the centurion.
Oh, that's right. What does he say?
He goes, "Truly, this man was the Son of God."
In the most American accent.
So American.
Yes, it does. Truly, this man was the Son of God. It's fantastic.
I tell you.
Hold him up. Anyway.
Hold him up.
He hasn't got any time on him. Anyway, my multum in parvo, before we get carried, it's the theme's got us carried away.
Yeah,
I could quite happily do a radio show just to this all afternoon. In Galilee. Galilee. AD 28.
In the land of milk and honey.
Do you think Jesus always thought, it's a real coincidence, the year's exactly my age.
I know, what luck.
It wasn't actually. Anyway, the point is, every day, I quite look forward now to, well, every other day. So I shave every other day. This is how trivial this is.
Yeah, go on.
I shave. This is my multum in parvo, citizen.
Okay, go on.
I bought this new... I just lucked into this product once when I was on holiday in Italy. I needed some shaving cream.
Yeah.
It was shaving cream.
Right.
And the guy had to... So they didn't have any shaving foam. Such an old school little local
shop. Do you have
shop.
To lather it up?
Yeah, or? With an old brush.
Right.
And it's called... It's the cream is made by a company called Pro Raso. P-R-O-R-A-S-O. And you use the brush, right? And I always shave in the shower.
Yeah.
I want to get the toilet put in there as well so I can enjoy the three shiz.
Right.
And really... So, at the same time, okay. It's like a dream to me.
All right, carry
anyway,
on.
Anyway, but when I finish shaving, yeah, you always get some of the foam up your nose.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I blow my nose.
Yeah.
And the scent of it. I just feel so fresh and like old school. And it smells of sort of soapy, musky. It's just amazing. And I just finished, and I look at my shoulder. And I think,
an unexpected bonus.
Yeah, and I just think, God, and I look at it each time, and I think, Christ, that's a good shave. It really is. I mean, it delivers. Like, I don't know, it's got some sort of emollient in it that's sort of like lanolin or something. I don't know what it is. Something, I don't know what's in there, but it just.
So you're saying the really small thing of having that lovely shave
has given you that much of an experience.
Molten
in parvo. It's given me a lot. Apart from that, it's very satisfying just doing the brushwork on your face because you can be a bit more artistic.
And old school,
you're sort of painting your face with this sort of, suddenly it's like, you look at yourself and you're like, hey, Santa.
Pro Raso sounds like sort of political graffiti from a separatist movement in Sicily.
It's sort of the only graffiti you get abroad. It's always really political, really long. I'm just taking this spray can out to the town, Mum. I'm going to write an essay on a wall about the government. Anyway, please, 83936, Multum in Parvo. Just, what are you getting? I mean, if you can match that. But I'm not kidding. I'm not saying it's the best thing in my life right now. But this smell when I blow my nose just to get the phone. Oh, man.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
On this, the 4 till 7 thing. You know why? Quickly. Okay, fair enough. Let's just get on with this. I was going to try and do our new Latin jingle, but I can see neither of you are ready for it.
Carve.
I haven't got the last word. What's the last word?
Aliter.
Thank you. Okay, we can do it then. And the 4 till 7 thing. Corai.
Partem.
Audent.
Aliter. That's care, share, dare to be different. And that's coming at you from the 4 till 7. And also the big guy himself, TJ. Always spotting you in the gym of life. What? Sunset, do you think I do this out of fun? No, I don't. I do it because I'm
very
deadly
serious.
No, I do it because I'm deadly bloody serious.
Are they?
And you come down that gym with me and you look in my eyes when I'm doing a decline bench press, yeah? You look in my eyes. You look in them and you see the nebutol going around that system, yeah? You see the hideously throbbing jugular.
Carve.
Those veins jutting out of my forearms.
Carve.
You see the veins bulge. You see the striations and the feathering on my deltoid caps and upper pectorals, yeah? TJ shivering.
Carve.
Sorry.
Do you like how we looked up shore in Latin?
I like it. It's fantastic. What is it again?
Carve.
Like the wine, carver.
Yeah.
But carve.
Yes.
Okay. Prosecco. Right, we're still on the hunt for the world's greatest nickname. So far, we've discovered Hugh, who is the second person named Hugh in his group. So he got called Hugh 2, which then became Bono. But we can't blame him for that.
Carve.
Prosecco. Also, Pete ate 9 Weetabix. He's now called Peterbix. Oi! And John's mate, Richard, who's a flooring contractor. This is genius. He's been nicknamed Lino Richie. Keep them coming into 83936 or tweet at Radio X. Make sure you include an explanation. Otherwise, it's just a name. Can I just say, at the moment, when I'm in the gym, there's a new guy who started coming down the gym. He's massive, pale bloke.
Yeah.
And we started calling him Jaws.
Right.
Because his eyes are just dead.
Right.
And he's enormous. And he's got really snuggly teeth.
And he's like a great white.
He's like a great white. Yeah, yeah. Well, he wanted us to call him the great white.
So
we started calling him Jaws.
Yeah, yeah.
But he has just got dead eyes.
Black eyes. They're
just dead. He's done so much steroids and stuff.
Wow.
And he's recovering from all sorts of things. But he's about, 6'4"? Maybe 6'6". He's enormous.
He needs to relax.
Yeah, when he comes to the gym, it's really funny because I was sitting back. I was just hiding behind the pec deck. And he came in the gym. We all started going. Yeah, right. It's really funny. Really good gym humor. You should come down. You know, the guys are so funny.
Yeah.
Carve.
You know, just the stuff we do is really funny.
Carve.
On some of the really heavy dumbbells the other day. Yeah. Little Lion Man. He put baby oil, on the grips.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's really funny. And Duck Bill Latipus with the big lats. Yeah, he's got to do it. Yeah, slipped right out of his hand, come out of his foot, completely crushed his toes. Loaded up in the ambulance.
Everyone's laughing.
Oh man! Yeah, do you know what he did?
What?
He set fire to Little Lion Man's bedsit.
Oh
yeah!
God, those guys are hilarious.
Just banter.
Yeah.
Anyway, so little Lionman's got nowhere to live. They reckon he's living out of his locker now.
But
do you know what I mean? Banter. Okay, this is one from Jeff in Perth. I think Gav's got it. Gav.
I have. He says, Jeff says, I have a friend who's on my phone as Genie.
Okay.
As whenever someone opens a bottle, she miraculously appears.
Oh!
Thanks, Jeff.
That's so good. Thank you so much, Jeff. She's called Genie. Because every... I think, do you know something? Jimmy, I was going to sort of repeat the same thing you said. Chase, do you hear that? So I was going, do you hear that, Sons? Yeah, I'm doing the same radio show as you, John. You don't need to do that. Sons, do you hear what Gav said? Yeah, you know, you got headphones on and he's sitting next to you. Yep. So you would have done. You'd have definitely heard what he said. I bet you there's a word in Yiddish which is exactly that. The sort. I know there's a word for the sort of person who always turns up just when you're about to eat. I forget what it is. But it's a really good. Yeah, it's a really good word. But I bet you this one. That's sort of our equivalent. Go on, what's yours?
This is from Simon in Margate, who says at uni we had a friend called Ishmael who we shortened to Ishy. His flatmate Paul was therefore Scratchy.
Ishy and Scratchy. It's genius. Do you hear that, Gav?
I do. Ishy and Scratchy. Who
can I say new craze? Did you hear that craze? Okay. We're definitely going to go for that on the show now. Most carrot?
Yeah.
Carrot,
yeah.
Sent your vote?
Carvey.
Okay, no, it's Carvey. Carvey. Prosecco. Okay.
God, this is silly season today.
It's a silly. I don't know what's going on. It's because Big Si's back. That's why. Because we haven't had anyone to rebel against for the last week. I suddenly realised how important it is for our humour to have an authority figure in here. A silent authority figure. Okay, here we go. This is from Henry in Cheshire. There's a chap who drinks in our local pub who went abroad for fertility treatment with his wife. It worked a little too well, and he's now the proud dad of four kids. He's affectionately known as the Quad Father. Do you hear that, Gav?
I did.
John's just telling Sunja.
The Quad Father. Sons, unbelievable.
Gav, did you hear? Of course you did. I told you. Right. Whew. Keep coming. 83936 or tweet at Radio X. Make sure you include an explanation. Otherwise, it's just a name.
Radio X.
Are you ready for this, guys?
Yeah, go on.
Church leaders must do more to fight boredom amongst visitors.
Yeah, I would have said so.
Can I just say, better late than never, right?
Yeah.
In this case, no.
Yeah.
It's done. The damage is done. You've bored us for too long in there, all right?
Yeah, even when they stuck people with guitars in the 70s in
there. No, that's worse.
That's worse than an organ.
I prefer something, just something really old and trad.
And what
really
it is.
Really old. Bells, give me bells, give me smells, and give me a nice lunch after to reward me.
For the boredom that's just happened.
Right.
The worthiness.
And I think that's the point. I think this is where they've missed the message of the Gospels, Gav.
Right.
Is it strikes me. I know people sort of say, what would Jesus do if it was his last night on earth?
Yeah.
And the answer is, I'll tell you exactly what he'd do. He'd book a room above a pub, get 12 mates together, have a right good laugh.
And that was the Last Supper?
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, get this, Gav.
Go on.
But it does make you feel like you've earned lunch. That's the point of it.
It does, yeah.
Really does.
You have a guilt-free roast dinner.
Yeah, yes. But I think the purpose was that Sunday lunch, that was meant to be the religious bit.
That's the, this is my body and this is my blood. Yeah.
Right, right. No, he's not saying that. He's holding up the wine going, lads, you see this wine? That's a bit of me, that. You know what I mean? That's a bit of me. Seriously, there's nothing wrong. Gav, you can't. There's no fault in the logic of that one. I believe it. That
makes sense.
That's theologically sound, Kevin.
I think it's very sound.
But I think what they've done is they've sort of made these made churches right from the start such a place of misery.
Yeah.
And I don't know too much, but I'm not a big religious guy, Kevin. But I think that's exactly what maybe, like, he came to sort of change.
Right.
Is the point of it.
Yes.
You know, to sort of liven it up, saying, no, it's not meant to be a grim place. You know, right, love it.
Be a celebrate. Well, they say you celebrate Mass,
right,
don't you?
And it's not a celebrate, it's really grim. And then you have a nice lunch after. I was thinking, well, why don't we just move the pub into the church, literally get some kegs under the altar and
and have a quiz.
Well, I regard those communion, look, it's no coincidence. Before now, I've come out of my local church.
Yeah.
Holy Redeemer, gone straight to the pub and then had cheddars on the bar, right?
Right.
And I was thinking, funny. Because I've just had a horrible wafer off the Lord for free. And I'm convinced that's what communion is. It's like once a week, it's God getting around in.
Yeah.
Saying, go on then, everyone.
Go on, everyone.
Not a sip either.
No.
Anyway, the point is, church leaders must do more to fight boredom among visitors. They were told yesterday, if you can't have fun in a cathedral, you really don't know what fun is. That's what the Archbishop of Canterbury
said. You're kidding.
It's so brilliantly out of touch, isn't it?
That
it's
is
insane.
Ridiculous.
This is the leader of, this is the guy who's responsible for the established spiritual well-being of all of Britain. And he says, if you can't have fun in a cathedral, you really know what fun is. Have you been to Westminster Abbey? You've got to pay to get in.
There's nothing fun. It's amazing, but it's amazing. Not fun.
Right. Church is on the decline. Pubs are on the decline, then, particularly in rural areas. Come on, there's an obvious synergy here.
There
isn't
is,
there?
Yeah.
Both serve booze.
Yeah, they do.
You know,
both have the community come together.
Yeah, all that's missing is the cavalry.
It makes songs of praise so much more entertaining.
What, if you're in the background, people go on the carvery, go,
seven. Oh,
another roast potato. Please.
Just another one piece for medicinal purposes.
God, yeah. Cool, I'll go around for communion again. Did you used to have fun in chapel at school, Gav, or in church with your parents?
Never.
Never.
The only time I ever had fun in church is because it's one of those places you're not supposed to laugh.
Yeah.
So if something did make you laugh, you couldn't stop laughing.
Yes.
So that was fun. But other than that, no.
And the Lord said unto the Canaanites, just that little one in
stupid.
There. Exactly,
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
it. And that'll be funny. Yeah. Well, guess what this guy did? The Dean of Liverpool, yeah?
Yeah.
He said when they hosted the Halloween service in which the building was filled with... they filled the building with smoke and lasers.
What?
Yeah, and the cathedral's cannon... that's the guy in charge, not a cannon. They haven't got a cannon.
Not like AC/DC.
They're not getting tooled up.
Yeah,
right. He was carried to the pulpit in a coffin.
What?
Yeah, before stepping out to give his sermon.
Whoa.
And I think, do you know what?
It's like one of those immersive cinema experiences.
Yeah, but look, churches are scary places, right? They're spooky and weird.
Definitely.
So they should take advantage of it.
Yes, the stained glass should come to life.
It should come to life, it should do it.
They should get Spielberg involved.
Yeah, look, they've got a tailor, you haven't got to build it. I mean, you go to these sort of amusement parks and they build something that looks church-like. Well, I've got to tell you, every village has got an empty building that is ready for this purpose.
It'd be brilliant.
Yeah.
And when the priest, talks to our Lord.
Yes.
Our Lord could reply.
Yes.
Really instead deep of
the
and loud.
Instead of the guy doing the sermon from the pulpit.
You rang.
Yeah, exactly right, Gav. Exactly right. When the vicar says, and the Lord said unto them. We get... go now! It actually comes through the speakers. The Church of England does some specially prepared stuff.
I like it. Who gets the voice of God? That's not going to be easy. That's a big voiceover gig.
It's obvious. Alan Dedicott.
Yeah.
It's the voice of the balls. No, the voice of God shouldn't be the voice of the balls. It's a very interesting point. Okay, who'd get the voiceover? Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, could be Morgan Freeman.
No. Yeah. I know. What are we doing? What are we doing, guys? It's obvious, isn't it? Brian! There's only one man for the job. Brian Blessed, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I like him. Brian Blessed,
and actually,
definitely.
And everywhere, and every picture, every saint, they all talk.
Yeah,
genius.
Of course.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
They say if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But... right here at Radio X, we believe if it is broke, leave it for a bit and then just do a hasty bodge job.
Yeah, bodge it.
Sort of fix it.
Yeah.
Martin in the Radio X office has had a broken hot tap for over 4.5 yards. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, Simon!
Go on, little Si.
Woo! Thank you. This inspired our feature, Martin's Hot Tap. He needs a brand new one. But he can't be asked to get it done. Martin's hot tap been broken for so long. But what haven't you fixed that went wrong? If you want to try and sing the Martin's hot tap, important thing there is try and sing. Oh, you don't have to actually sing it very well.
No, no.
That's demonstrated.
We'd like to hear your attempts.
Yeah, even if you want to rap it.
Yeah. Oh, Gav, don't tell me. That's fantastic.
I'd like to hear it in a Latin style.
Yeah.
Martin's out there. Anyway, Johnny at radiox.co.uk. You might listen. It's Thursday night. It's the start of the weekend, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, yeah.
So if you're in the pub tonight, you might want to just, start, have a little sing-song with your mates. Just get it going.
Yeah, just get your table to sing it.
Well, please, just say to your mates, hey, lads, do you want to sing on national radio?
Because you will be on.
Because you'll definitely be on, because they get no one enters at all. Okay, as the song says, we're after all those things you can't be asked to fix. Not only are we celebrating your apathy, but we delight in ingenuity. That's really the heart and soul of Martin's Hot Tap. Misguided ingenuity, where you look at it, you think, oh, how pathetic, they think they've been really cunning. Although sometimes we are very impressed.
Yeah.
Hashtag MHT, hashtag CBA, can't be asked. Gav, you got one from Ian. Thank you so much for sending one in, Ian. Go on, Gav.
Ian says, I removed a broken shower screen for my mother-in-law and never got round to plugging the holes left in the white tiles.
Okay.
My mother-in-law improvised with the oddest of all DIY materials and filled the holes with toothpaste.
Nice!
To this day, I still can't decide who's laziest, me or my mother-in-law.
Well, what's great is, of course, toothpaste, it does dissolve. I mean, that's what it's designed for.
See, you just put a bit more.
You just keep putting it in. It's always going to be in there.
And if you run out of toothpaste and you need to brush your teeth, you just push the toothbrush into the hole.
Oh, lovely. That's it comes out exactly, and you just lay right it straight amount, on the toothbrush. Yeah, right. A toothbrush with. Thank you very much anyway, Ian. Sunter, what you got from Arnie in Warrington?
So Arnie says, I moved into a new house and managed to snap the door handle on the washing machine.
Oh, no.
Now, after a bit of a panic, I found out that the end of a teaspoon handle could prise the catch and the door would open.
Handy. Mm.
It would only cost a couple of quid for a new handle, but I can't be asked.
Nope.
8 years later.
Whoa! Good man!
Teaspoon is still there and it's attached to the door by a handy piece of string.
Ah, oh, man.
That's just brilliant.
There's nothing I like more than seeing someone... That becomes that
part of their day.
When I used to be in a basement flat situation with the lads, we had no door key at all. Mm. None. I've told you this. We had no door key. Mm. So instead, it was just a stretch of wooden rod, like a broom handle, that you could go exactly in through the letterbox.
Yeah.
And you could hit the latch with it.
Right.
And you put it so then you just rest it on the pipe outside.
Yeah. That was the key.
That was the key.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
It's amazing. No, but that was
available to the public.
No, it was great. You didn't have to answer the door. You just let people in. But sometimes you got to the stage when we were in. Yeah, and we're thinking, no, don't. I don't want people coming around. Hide the key. So we bring this piece of wood in. In which case, then people wanted to come around. They start improvising. So you suddenly look down and just see a hand coming in. It's like a sort of Crime Stopper footage. But they'd be holding like something extra on there, like, you know, just a stick they'd found, hoping now that with a bit of hand you'd see it just going.
And it wasn't quite the key.
Not quite like a trowel they'd found somewhere. Anyway, when the estate agent, when my mate sold the flat.
Mm.
The estate agent came round and my mate said to me, they're going to come round and try and pick the... I've told them to come round and pick the keys up. I was thinking, like, what keys? I had to give them this bit of wood.
Did you put it on a key ring?
Yes! Because it had the hole in the end already. There you go.
Just get that copy.
No, he's looking at the key. I said, that's what I said. I said, if you want one, I said, don't take it away because I have to get a new one cut.
And it was a stick.
It was a stick, yeah.
That's brilliant.
Okay. This is from Amanda in Slough. Hello, Amanda. Thank you so much for sending us this to Martin's Hot Tap. The head on our rather ancient shower has got so plugged up with limescale, only 4 of the holes actually let water through. Rather than descaling it or buying a new one, my husband just replaced it with the spout of a plastic watering can.
No.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness.
That is Hot Tap Hall of Fame.
Can you say, Amanda, just tell us, is it better, though, than the metal ones? I bet it is.
Good point, yeah. Will it scale? No, it won't.
No,
it
won't. I just used to always take in a toothpick, and I just shove it through the holes.
It's quite fun as well.
It's quite fun, yeah. It's sort of entertaining. But you can, obviously, if you're looking up, it can get a bit hectic.
Yeah. You need to wear goggles.
Yeah, I've got to wear goggles.
Does it look like light speed in Star Wars?
Yeah, it does. I like to pretend I'm warping exactly like Radio X. That was our podcast. Please tell a friend about us and get them to download and subscribe, rate and review. If you want to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk. Get into it. Get involved.